Hallelujah. Did you notice that I did not say, I anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Eh? Did you notice it? Now, I didn't say, I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Eh? Praise the Lord. That is what revelation does. I have gone to churches and they begin to, with sanctimonious voice, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. See them, they were there before. They know how to answer. They were there before. This is what revelation does. Colossians 3:17 says, in words or in spirit. Can we read it? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever is whatsoever. Whether you want to eat, you want to cast out spirits, whether you want to dedicate a child, whether you want to baptize, whether you are blessing communion, pray communion, wine, whether you are joining a man and a woman as husband and wife in wedding, whether you are praying for the sick, or you are blessing somebody traveling or somebody who has arrived safely, or you are thanking the Lord and blessing the food before you eat, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Father and of the Son. Eh? Eh? Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father by Him, Jesus. So everything is Jesus. That is the name of God for salvation. Anytime you say Jesus, you are calling the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Because He's saving the world through His Son. For it is written, for God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself. Therefore, He placed His name in Him. The name of the Father is the name of the Son. The Son, the name of the Son is Jesus. But there is the name Jesus, and there is the Son Jesus. Praise God. And the Son told us, amen. John chapter what? 14 verse 26. What does it say? But the Comforter, which is what?
The Holy Ghost.
Which is what?
The Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Whom the Father will send in my name.
The Father will send the Holy Ghost in which name?
In the name of Jesus Christ.
What is the name of the Holy Ghost? The Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, in which name? So what is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. That's why the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son, everybody knows, is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. You say, how is the name of the Father Jesus? Can you open again? John chapter 5, verse 43. See them? See them? That is how to baptize, not to sprinkle water on you. As they enter, see as the power of God. This is what Jesus is saying. Let the colleague read it.
John
5:43.
I am come in my Father's name.
Who is the person speaking?
Jesus Christ.
He said what?
I am come in my Father's name.
In which name is he coming?
Jesus.
In the Father's name. What is his name?
Jesus Christ.
And that means the name of his Father is who?
Jesus Christ.
I am come in my Father's name. Uh-huh.
And ye receive me not.
Uh-huh.
If another shall come in his own name,
uh-huh,
him will ye receive.
You see? The Antichrist will come in his own name. Now he will not go receive. That's why you were telling them. But now he come bearing the name of his Father, for that name is the name for redemption. Baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, anywhere you go for prayer, and they end the prayer by saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, they have not called the name. Therefore, that prayer is not yet complete. Is somebody learning something now? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any question? Feel free, feel free. You are not, come forward.
Pastor, they used to say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Is it correct?
They are confused. If you know the name of the Father, then why are you calling Father? Don't we know he's the Father before? Eh? It's a confusion. That is, many of them hear our sermons on television, but they don't want to drop their Trinitarian understanding of the Godhead, so that they will not be guilty, because they notice in the Bible that every baptism was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, but their denomination say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, so that they will hold both the denomination and the Bible together, so they are not guilty of their denomination doctrine, and they are not guilty of the apostolic doctrine, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. So, chicken, that's ignorance. Who again? Yes?
Praise the Lord. There is a time that I argue this word with somebody. We argue this matter tonight. He said that there is a Trinity. I said, what is Trinity? So he said that that Trinity signifies that the God of Son and Holy Ghost. I said, I don't agree that. So it is not that I understand it very well. So I want to know what is Trinity.
Trinity is now that you understand what? You say it's not that you understand very well.
He said, I don't understand the Trinity that it is talking about.
You don't understand?
Yes.
Praise God. Trinity, as it is understood by the Trinitarians, is their understanding of the Godhead. Because they have seen that there is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Ghost. And therefore, there are three persons in one God. That is their understanding of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They are three. Therefore, that is Trinity. They even have a song, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen. To support that. We all believed that until the Spirit of God came to point us back to the Bible. You will notice that, hallelujah, listen, if there's any Trinitarian here, and also, please, can somebody go to the tape stand and bring to him the sermon I preached entitled, Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? First and foremost, the angel of the Lord introduced Jesus to us as who? Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. And Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is how he described this mystery. And without controversy, no argument. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. It is a mystery. And unless you understand this mystery, you will think that God is three. It's a mystery. Therefore, anything that is mystery needs God to grant you understanding. He said, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Who are they referring to there? It's Jesus. is Jesus now. So who are they saying? Then you understand why the angel said Jesus. He said Jesus, he shall be called Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. God was in Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, what really makes them confused? First and foremost, sir, let me clarify this aspect. Who is the father of Jesus? Eh? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. This is how Jesus was born. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together as husband and wife, she was found with a child. That child was whose child? Child of who? Child of who? You are a child of who? You, child of who are you?
Daniel.
Child of who? Child of who?
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, let me be your papa.
Child of my.
You are a child of who? Obebel. Your father met with your mother and produced blessing, correct? Correct? Hallelujah. If your father is Obebo, amen. Your mother gave birth to you. The problem we have is that when we come to Christ, when you become a Christian, you just follow, no personal revelation. That is the problem with the Christian world. Everything you see happening in Christianity today has a beginning somewhere. That's the problem. You are celebrating Christmas because you were told that Jesus was born on 25th December. All of us, we were told Christmas Day, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And because you don't even reason, you are saying that the people that actually celebrate Christmas are truly more unbelievers than Christians. Even arm robbers celebrate Christmas. They prepare for Christmas. Beer parlors prepare for Christmas. Ogogoro joints prepare for Christmas. Prostitutes redesign their clothes for Christmas. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Okay, what is Santa Claus with the birth of Jesus Christ? What is Santa Claus? What is Christmas tree associated with the birth of Jesus Christ? Instead of you to go and find out, was Jesus born on 25th December? No. That celebration was going on long before Christ was born. There's a history to it. But is it not good? At least we set one day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Was he not born as a human being one day? Why are you not looking for his birthday to celebrate on his birthday? And there are keys in the Bible, and I've showed you in this church, that according to the Bible, trace it in the scripture, you will see that Jesus Christ was born according to the Roman calendar between September and October. And they know it. They know it. So that's the major problem that we have. Brother, we don't believe in Christmas. But I told you here, I say, your children will not agree with you for that, your revelation. No. You want to create problem, your children will hate your religion. No. They will tell you are a fanatic. Which country is this? So I told you, I say, on Christmas Day, I say, buy them new clothes. Kill turkey, if they don't eat turkey before, for that house. Buy them new clothes. Other children in the neighborhood are going to Bouncy Castle and going to, Father Christmas. Take them there. Take them to somewhere. Because they are going back to school and they are going to ask them, even their teacher, tell me how you spend the Christmas. And they will be talking fun. They will be getting angry. Angry with their papa, angry with their mama. So buy it for them. Take them to places of fun. Take them to the beach. It's a holiday. But explain to them, Jesus was not born this day. Now holiday, we just celebrate. But eat turkey. Eat. You get one man, brother, here. On that day, just to show, say, you know, they celebrate Christmas. Even 100 naira. You know, go give your wife to cook that day. Somebody will chop yesterday food. Today, we know they celebrate Christmas. How about, brother? You don't go too far now. In fact, you are stingy. You just use opportunity. Eh? Cloth, you know, buy for your wife. Eh? Socks, you know, buy for your children. Eh? Even this kind sandals where they show light. Bingy, bingy, bingy. Make the children, they run with them. Bingy, 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 bingy. Reserve of. If they're stingy, after Christmas, hide them. The next Christmas, wash up. Bring it out from leather. But then they run, me. So don't hide under there. I didn't teach you that. I told you, even me, within us here, I can tell you that Christmas is not a Christian celebration. But when I go out as an evangelist, inside of me, I am happy that the whole world is hearing about Jesus Christ. Although it's on the wrong date, but Jesus, the Savior, was born. They think they sweet me like anything. Praise the Lord. But we know better. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. So the same thing. If you read very well the Bible, if you study the Bible very well, there are questions you will ask when you look at what is being practiced from this same Bible. You will ask, when did they start ordaining women pastors? Because there is no woman pastor in the Bible. So go to history now and find out how it came about. When did we start having husband and wife owning church? So therefore, signboard, now the man and the wife, then they show for signboard. Church of Jesus Christ has been hijacked by a man and his wife. Send at their church. And you are walking there and serving a man and his wife. And you are thinking you are serving God. You are taking offerings and tithes to a man and his wife. He's using it and living fat, living luxurious and flamboyant lifestyle. On you, feed on you. And you are thinking you are bringing it to Jesus. When did they start selling oil and selling water for healing, for deliverance? It has history. When did they start putting the image of a woman in a shrine in front of a church? Before you enter, you bow. It has history. The Bible forbids all this. The Bible forbids a woman pastor. Then why are they having it all like this? When did they start having headquarters with branches? Somebody called them business centers. It's true now. They have reduced Christianity and unbelievers are making caricature of us. But some of us are ashamed to introduce ourselves as pastors. Because once you say pastor, they will see you as a rich man. As a rich man. It's everywhere. It has turned upside down. You know, in those days, you are anxious to have many children because when they become men, you now rest. That then will they take care of you. But now, Papa will take care of the Pekin till he die. Pekin won't marry. Now the father, they run up and down to look for money. His son want to marry. His son, even the people when they attend the wedding, all now the Papa friends. Things have turned upside down. upside down. Praise the Lord. The only church where some of these things is a little bit okay is church where an Igbo man is the general overseer. Because Igbo culture, Ese go sit down. Everybody must bring end of the year, Christmas, New Year festival. You want marry, why? Call a knot to him. You want bury, come and say to him. You want travel, come and say to him. You want build, put foundation for building, you come and say to him. Everything because he's Eze. But for here, na malam de here. Malam mumu. Praise the Lord. So it is in Christianity. Generally, you don't ask questions. The day you ask questions, then you begin to have deliverance from the spirit of error. God, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The God we serve is the God of Israel. What does it say? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. What does it say? Eh? Hear ye, O Israel. The Lord your God is Trinity. The Lord your God is three. Is three lords. How many lords? One. But when he came to idolatrous Gentiles, they tear him into three. This is the mystery of godliness. Praise the Lord. God above us is the Father. He's our Father. Listen, oh, this is it. This one statement should make it clear. God in his Son and God in us as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same one God as the Father who came in his Son, finished the work of salvation, paid the price of redemption under the kinsman redeemer principle or law. Before you can deliver anybody, you yourself, you must be free. And you must be next of kin, related by blood to the person you want to redeem. And no man was worthy, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No man was qualified to redeem man. Therefore, God himself had to step from time to eternity, from eternity to time, and he built himself a body in the womb of a virgin woman. That baby in the womb of that woman is a body that God prepared for himself to tabernacle inside. And come and pay the price of redemption. When he finished, he went back to what he has always been. And come back again to dwell in those he has redeemed as the Holy Ghost. It is one God in three offices, not three persons. One God in three offices. Remember, God does not share his glory with any man. He is one in three offices. So it is God in Christ Jesus, blessed unity, not Trinity. It's one God. And his name is Jesus. Jehovah saves. Because he's saving now. God bless you. Nothing like Trinity as Trinity of persons. No. Oh, yes? Let me hear you.
Praise the Lord.
From the gallery.
Me, sir, I want you to throw more light on this portion. Matthew chapter number 28, verse 19, concerning Trinity over baptism. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Please, what can you make out of this, sir?
What is your question? What is your question? You have not asked your question. You have only read it for me.
My question is that it's not supposed, someone is not supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Do you have a father? I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Are you married?
No.
Why?
I'm yet to marry. I'm searching. I'm searching.
Do you have a father?
Yes, sir, but he's late.
What are you to him?
I'm his son.
What is your name?
Aniekan.
Not son.
Son of Umana.
Is your name son?
Yes, it's a son.
Is your name son?
No.
What is your name?
Aniekan.
What is the name of this son talking to me now?
Sir?
What is the name of this son that is talking to me now?
Aniekan.
Not son.
The son of Umara.
I am not saying describe. Your name. Is Aniekan. Your name son?
No.
So there's a difference between son and Aneka.
Yes, sir.
Now, son is the title of Aneka, correct?
Yes, sir.
It's not the name of Aneka.
Yes, sir.
So if you are to do something in the name of this son, which name will you use?
Aniekan.
Not son?
No.
That is why Jesus is the name of the son. Jesus is the name of the son. Therefore, anything you want to do, you don't do it in the name son, but in the name of Jesus. Because son is the title and Jesus is the name. God bless you.
Please, sir, if somebody was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and is dipped in the water once, is he supposed to baptize?
You are to baptize according to Matthew 28, verse 19. You are to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, because the name of the Lord Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is immersion. The word baptism is a Greek word, baptizo, to be immersed. The water must cover you, because it's speaking about burial, and when you bury somebody, you cover him all. And you don't die three times. It's once. Some people, they put you for father, bring you out. Put you for son, bring you out. Put you for Holy Ghost, bring you out. It's confusion. Baptism is once. God bless you.
I know that is once, but it's been mentioned at the in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. They immerse the person.
Aneka,
sir,
who received that commandment? Who did Jesus speak to directly before we are also applying it? Who?
He spoke to people to go and.
Who?
Sir.
Which group of people? He spoke to his disciples.
Yes, the disciple.
It was 11 of them he spoke to, according to Matthew chapter 28, correct? Verse 18.
Yes, verse 19.
Correct? Verse 18 says he spoke to the 18 of them. To 11 of them. And he said all power is given to him. Correct? He spoke to his disciples, correct?
Sir.
Okay, let's read it now. Verse 18.
And Jesus,
go to verse 17. Is it verse 17 or 16? Where he mentioned specifically to the 11. Verse 16, yes. Oh, yeah, reading from verse 16. What does it say?
Then the 11 disciples sent away into Galilee.
Let me read it so that you will not misplace the words. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, the 11 disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And verse 19, he gave them the commission. Go ye therefore and baptize all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Was Peter there? among the 11? Answer me.
Yes, yes, sir.
Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37, and 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brother, what did he say? Brother, what did he say? Repent and baptize. Go on, read it now.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Was Peter wrong? Instead of saying Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he said in the name of Jesus. Was he wrong?
No.
Okay, Paul was not among the 11, but he said he received a revelation. Go to Acts chapter 19. From verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollo was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I'm reading up to verse 5. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Note verse 5. You read verse 5 now, brother. Brother, read verse 5.
When they hear this, they were baptized
in the name of the Father,
of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, not in the name of the Father, so Holy Ghost.
Sir, what now, of those who died?
Now listen, brother.
Without
listen.
Baptism.
Listen. Let's finish with the living first before we face the dead. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, brother. There are many of us that are not interested in progressing our spiritual lives. You are so religious until you are not sincere with yourself. Because when something is quickened to you that is contrary to what you believe, you are supposed to catch it and review your stand and understanding again. It is in the light of Bible. I am showing you Bible. You are reading it by the filter of your denomination. You will never get the truth. Praise the Lord. This error has gone on so far, but in this age, God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have found a revelation by the last prophet's message. School, even if you are an illiterate, at least you hear English enough to sell your market. You don't need to go to any special school to understand that the son has a name. Every son has a name, and every father has a name. And there is only one name for redemption. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15 says that name, Jesus, is the family name in heaven and on earth. That means it is the name of our Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Any other question? Yes? Up again.
Thank you, sir. My grandmother was not baptized before she passed on. Secondly, my second question does not mean to provoke any religious whatever.
What is the first question?
No, I just said this.
You said your second question. I didn't hear the first
one. I'm about to go on with the second question, sir.
What is the first one?
No, the first one is my grandmother was not baptized before she
passed. That is a statement, not a question.
She was a Christian. She believed in Christ.
So what is the question? You are only telling me who she is, but you have not asked your question.
What's our faith, sir?
Okay. Okay, go on, finish what you want to say.
Okay, secondly, is there any special redemption for the Muslims? Why am I asking this? Because according to record, Islam is the fastest growing religion, over 2 billion people, and moving very fast. So, if there is not, will God watch so many people perish since Islam does not believe in Christ and Christ is the only name given to us for salvation?
Do you have your Bible with you? Sorry, do you go to church?
Yes, sir.
Which church?
Redeem.
Redeem.
Yes, sir.
Have you asked Adeboye that question?
No, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
Why?
I feel freer to ask you.
How do you understand this scripture? Open your Bible and read John 14, verse 6.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me.
What do you understand by that scripture?
Jesus is the only way to salvation.
So why are you asking that question again? Are you looking at the numbers or you are looking at the condition as given to us by Jesus himself in the Bible? You are looking at only Muslims. What of the Hindus? What of the Buddhists? And what of the atheists? And what of the traditionalists? Put all of them together, they are more in number than the totality of Islam. And you are talking about Christianity. You are looking at even Christians. Even among the Christians, there is another scripture that tells us that in John chapter 4, that God is looking for worshippers that will worship him. Where? And we are in spirit and in truth. So, if we break it down again, it's not enough that you decided to go to church and claim to be a Christian. But even among Christianity, the Bible tells us there are wheat and tares. There are two groups of people in the church. And even there are some people that claim to be Christians, but actually, they are another religion, like the Catholics. Catholicism looks like Christianity, but when you bring them to the true Christian faith, according to the Bible, you discover that they are another religion. So we have them like that. Praise the Lord. So please, do you know what? We are not politicians. We are not looking for followership like that. We are not competing with any group of people. And in Christianity, first and foremost, salvation is a personal affair first. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And the Bible tells us, many are called, but few are chosen. Therefore, the Christian faith is for few, not for many. God bless you. Who again? Yes?
Shalom, sir. Sir, there's a question a woman asked during our camp program. And I was not comfortable with the answer. So I want to ask the question again.
Yes.
My question is, if a man filled with the Holy Ghost and get married to a woman filled with the Holy Ghost and they give birth to a child, will the child be holy? That's the question.
No, don't say so. Open 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
7 verse 14.
From verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. He's given counsel now as an apostle. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, That means you were all unbelievers. Then you have now believed, but your wife refused to believe. That's what is looking. That's the problem you want to solve. And she be pleased to dwell with him. Although she refuses, she will not follow you to your Christianity. She will remain Hindu or Islam. But she still decides she will remain your wife. He said, let him not put her away. Verse 13 now. And the woman, that is vice versa now, which had an husband that believed not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Then verse 14 is your question. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else we are your children unclean. But now they are they holy. I think that has answered the question.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you. But until they grow up, that's what I added that day. When they grow up to an age where they can make decision, then they will answer for themselves. God bless you. Who again? Up, yes?
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Please, I want to ask, is it ever possible for someone to die without baptism, that's a good Christian, and go to heaven?
Eh?
Is it possible for a good Christian to die without getting baptized and go to heaven?
You see, that question, I want Bible to answer it. Open Romans chapter 8. Listen very well. Bible will answer you. First and foremost, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What does it say? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I... Praise the Lord. But see the mystery. See the mystery. John chapter 6, verse 44. In Matthew 11, 28, he said, come to me, Abby. But here he's saying, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, that's why I say, study Bible. You don't study Bible. You don't go to church. And these days, they don't even study Bible again. It's prosperity, prosperity, and all deliverance, 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 prosperity, prosperity. Anything that will show you way to heaven, then they say, are they going to heaven? So they don't bother to know which way to go to heaven. Study. This is a mystery. This is Jesus saying, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, and then, he's quickly saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, whosoever, but he's saying here again, although it is whosoever, although I say, come to me all that are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. He's saying again, no man can come except the Father that sent me draw you. Now, Romans 8, 28. So I will read it up to verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are they called, those that he called, according to his purpose. Now, verse 29 is going to let you know who he called. Church, sister, are you with me? Do you know that there is a book of life? Give her a microphone to answer me, please. Answer me. Do you know there is a book of life?
Yes, sir.
Is your name in the book of life?
I don't know.
Why don't you know?
I've not seen the book.
That's a very interesting one, isn't it? Sister?
Sir?
There is a book of life with names of people. It is called Book of Life. Because it is having the names of people that we have eternal life.
Okay, sir.
Do you have eternal life?
By His grace, sir.
How do you know?
Because I'm a child of God.
How do you know?
Because I'm a Christian.
How do you know?
Because I believe in Jesus Christ.
How do you know?
Because I'm convinced within my soul.
You are convinced?
Yes, sir.
Are you the daughter of your father?
Sir?
Are you the daughter of your father?
Yes, sir.
How do you know?
Because I live with my parents. And they gave birth to me.
How do you know?
Because they gave birth to me.
They gave birth to you.
Yes,
you are a Christian by being born again. By one spirit are we baptized into Christ. Therefore, I am a Christian not because I believe in Christ, but because I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not a Christian. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Sister, if you don't have the blood of your father in you, you are not His daughter. Now, listen very well. All that. See, did God know that you will be here today?
Yes, sir.
When did He know?
Because God knows everything.
When did He know?
Because God knows everything.
I say, when did He know you will be here?
From the beginning of time.
Eh?
From the beginning of time.
From beginning of time. Did He know you will be a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Your friend that died as an unbeliever, did He know that that child, that your friend, will die, he will not receive Christ?
Yes, sir.
And the two of you had the opportunity to receive Christ?
Yes, sir.
So, He who knew all things before time began, before you were formed in your mother's womb, knew that the day you will hear about Him, you will give your life to Him. Because you will respond, He therefore put your name among those that He should not allow to go to hell. So that is what verse 29 wants to explain. Verse 29, that is what he wants to explain now. He said, for whom He did foreknow, foreknowledge in advance, He know. He also did predestinate. Your destiny was determined before you were formed. To be what? To be conformed into the image of His Son, that He, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the destiny of a Christian? Is to be like Jesus. The destiny of a Christian is not to be a pioneer. The destiny of a Christian is to be like Jesus. According to that. So, by foreknowledge, He knew the decision you will make before you were formed. You are the reason why He created a place for you. You are the reason why He stepped down from eternity to time to look for you. Anybody whose name is in the book of life, He knew it through foreknowledge. Until the last one comes in, then salvation is over. So, all these things about, now you now understand why we say, once you are saved, forever you are saved. You cannot be saved today, then tomorrow you go to hell. Because God is not gambling. He knows who will disappoint Him and who will not disappoint Him. Now, verse 30 makes it clearer now. Verse 30 makes it clearer now. He said, moreover, whom He did predestinate, those that He has predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, them He also called. So when He said, come to me, He knows those who will come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now, and whom He called. Sister, I'm answering your question.
Yes, sir.
Whom He called. Because some people in our pastor, they call them. Some people, you know, see one denomination that is near us some years ago said, please, if you want to be a pastor under our ministry, come out. Then they will come out and be a pastor. Who call you? It's your Joe. You have not seen people who come and then come to the altar. Come, they finish preaching. Come, when they come, they say, say after me, prayer of repentance. I, Olubenga, Emeka, Oege, Abigail, Oege, Asinedu, Oege, say after me, I, from today, I give my life to Christ. From today, I will serve you. I will not go back. I will not. Did you say it? Father, write your name in the book of life. Father, now the pastor that is saying write your name in the book of life, does he know the book of life?
No.
In the light of the scriptures. Now, does he know the book of life?
No.
When was your name written in the book of life? The day you give your life to Christ? When was the name written in the book of life? Some people don't know what I'm saying. Open Ephesians chapter 1. Open Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 4. Verse 2. Ephesians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is in verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him the day you gave your life to Christ. Are we reading together?
Yes.
When? Read it, sister.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
When did he choose us in him?
Before the foundation of the world.
When did he choose us in him?
Before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Sister, can you read it?
Yes, sir. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
That is the Antichrist.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the From the foundation of the world.
From when?
From the foundation of the world.
The book of life of the Lamb slain.
From the foundation of the world.
Not the day you gave your life to Christ?
No.
So if a pastor says, Father, write their name in the book of life, does he know the book of life?
No.
It is only those whose names are written in the book of life that will give their life to Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 30, Romans chapter 8. Again, let's finish it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, listen now, this is technical, them he also justified. Who are those? What is the meaning of justification? Justification is the estate by which you stand before God as if you have never sinned before. And you achieve that through a process of repentance. Water baptism, and then you stand justified. Brings you under the blood. And they are the only ones that he will grant the true revelation of justification. The rest is just religion. Religion, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They sprinkle water on them, say yes, and baptize. You are not yet justified. They go like this, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, put you inside water, bring you out. You are not yet justified. Your sins are still upon you. And the next statement, please. I've not finished. He says, whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, if he is the one that justified you, them he also glorified. Glorification there is the finished work of redemption by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your question is answered. Am I correct?
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Church, praise the Lord. Daddy, my question goes this way. Some time ago, there's a two lady came to my office. They were preaching to me the gospel. So one of the lady said she's a pastor, and the other one said she's an evangelist. Then I want you to clear me. When it comes to the leadership of being a servant of God to take care of the sheep and the pulpit, is it good for a woman to be a pastor or a woman to be an evangelist,
the Bible,
or a deaconess, or altars.
The Bible, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us that he permit not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. Listen, the offices of authority in the church are the offices in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. This is what God has ordained for the perfection for the edification of the body, for the work of the ministry, according to verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. This is leadership office, and a woman cannot be ordained into any of these offices, according to Apostle Paul. And even the patterns set in the Bible, the first office we say is apostle, and the apostles of Jesus Christ, none was a woman. 12 of them, none was a woman. And even when one died, they did not replace him with a woman. They still replace him with a man. But there are gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 spiritual gifts. It is the body gifts. It is both for men and for women. But when it comes to stand in office of authority, it is not for woman. Now, concerning evangelism, every man or woman is supposed to go out on evangelism. We are all to witness wherever we are. But that does not make you to be ordained as a woman evangelist. You leave your husband at home with a baby. Then in the night, an angel visited you that you should go to Kigwe or go to Okija and go and take over Okija. You are answering your father's duty. Then you show your husband the baby food is there. Ogi is here. Feeding bottle is here. The napping is here. If anything happens, you have my number till I come back. You are out of the perfect will of God. It is not permitted. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Please, Pastor, there's a little question I want to know.
Even if it is big, ask it.
We call Christ the Son of God. But sometimes, people called him the Son of David. And already I know David in the Bible. So I want to know why they call Christ the Son of David.
Okay, let's read it. Is that Matthew? Matthew what? Amen. It's a very interesting question. But you should be reading your Bible now. Eh? There was a prophecy concerning him. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Amen. Verse 32 and verse 33. Make sure you mark it in your Bible. This is concerning Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. One verse. Eh? One verse is calling him the Son of God. The same verse again is calling him the Son of David. So is that why you are confused?
Yes.
Now listen, church. I preached a message that I titled, Who is Jesus? Now, Jesus is the mystery of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says he's the wisdom of God and he's also the power of God. The wisdom that God used to redeem his children on earth is Jesus. Now, Jesus has three offices to fulfill. And he must fulfill it before he will take all dominion and power and give it to the Father according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now the first office that he occupied is the office of a prophet. He came and gave, thus said the Lord. He showed us the way. He preached the coming kingdom. He gave the message of salvation. He came as a prophet. He also, that is why he is called the Son of Man. It is office of a prophet. Then, he is now, after that, the next office he has is the office he's occupying now, the office of a high priest. But this time, he is not coming in the order of Aaron. Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 7 says he is coming in the order, his priesthood is in the order of Melchizedek. It's an unending priesthood. He is now the high priest of our profession, there, sitting at the right hand of the Father, pleading for us. This is what he's doing. Until the last elect comes in, then he stands up for the third office. The third office there is the office of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he'll be coming to rule the earth in the millennium, and he is going to continue with the kingship that was given to David. That's why in the lineage, as he came in through the lineage of David. But more importantly, he came through the tribe of Judah. That's why he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is a king. That is that office where he said he will sit upon the throne of his father David is in the millennium, where he will come and rule, stay in Israel and rule the whole world. That is the meaning of that.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. Yes. That should be the last person. Thank you.
Church, praise the Lord. I have two questions, sir. My first question, why, when the Bible says we should ask everything through Jesus, why is there Holy Ghost fire? Number one. Then, the second question.
Who normally ask through Holy Ghost fire?
We call Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. So why not Jesus fire? That's number one. Number two questions. Pertaining to Islam, I'm from Islam background, and Islam believe in Jesus Christ, and it is written in the Bible that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And in Islam believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and Islam believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again.
So what's your question?
My question now, how can we say Muslims will not see the kingdom of God when they believe
it is
in the same Christ?
It's not enough that they believe, because even Satan, devil himself, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was born of virgin birth. Believe that he's coming back again. And devil knows that Jesus is the one that will finish him.
Not
but
only
see
believe,
where
it is written in Quran that whosoever did not believe in Jesus Christ, which is
another
Islam,
will
not see the kingdom of God.
Do you have your Bible there?
There is Bible there.
Open Mark chapter 16. Okay, look at the screen, if they can show us on the screen. Verse 15 and verse 16. Read it.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Verse 16.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Do Muslims believe?
They believe.
Do they baptize?
No.
Then they are not saved. God bless you. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Listen. There are five things I have been telling you. Please practice it. It will help you live a very fulfilled life. Five keys that you should practice. What is number one? Those of you who have been listening to me, thanksgiving. Cultivate the habit of thanking God always. Have an appreciating heart. There are too many things He does for us every day. But more importantly, if you have any particular testimony, I learned it from the story of the 10 lepers when only one came back, when 10 of them were healed. And Jesus Christ said, were they not 10? Why is it only one that came back? And He told him that, go, thy faith has made thee whole. I explained it several times. It simply means anytime you have a testimony and you don't come back to thank God, that testimony will not be permanent. It will only be temporary, according to that principle. And when I say thank God, wherever you go, you want to thank God. Don't thank God empty-handed, empty mouth. That would be wrong. Even baby dedication. Come and see baby dedication. It is only in this church. Nothing to thank God for that baby. You went, you deliver. You know how many people went to that labor room. Many of them died. Some of their children malfunctioned or one thing or the other. And then you are coming that day with baby. You will come as you come. That is how you go. You know, we don't task you. My own is to teach you. If I teach you finish and you come and give thanksgiving, I will just laugh. I say, I am not guilty. I have told you what to do. Because you are the one that will enjoy the benefits. But I have a duty to teach you. That's why I say, believe in His prophet and you will prosper. I am prophesying to you now. I'm telling you God's principle. If you are going to keep this door that God has opened this year, there are principles to still follow. If not, you will end up closing your own door by your own actions. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What is the second one? Praises. Learn to praise God. And to praise God is not just to dance, but to express the attributes of God that you know. Let Him know that you know Him. He loves worship. The third one is what? Offering. There is a mystery in offering. All the places I have gone for program, everywhere I have always told them, because we don't want to pull money from people. Then it makes it look, until we don't talk about money, it's a principle. If people will prosper, they should learn to give offering. I have too many examples. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, when you come before God's presence, don't come empty-handed. And William Branham said, a service is not complete without offering. He described, he said, the action of stretching forth your hand to put offering enables God to place His blessing on your hands. Praise the Lord. The account department were telling me someday, the Dickens, they said some people come with empty envelope and drop it. They will run, come, and drop empty envelope and go back. Now, church has been reduced to business center. So people, the sanctity of the church is no more there. No fear of God again because of the nonsense going on in the churches. But let me tell you, there is still a place where God honors His word. Be careful when you come to a place like this. Instead of receiving blessing, you receive curse. We sit down like this now. Somebody will be watching to see if you drop your phone. Then he will carry it. Drop your bag. They will carry the bag and go. People come to receive blessings. Some will come and collect curse. You go to church. You don't know you are choking your finger in the eye of God when you behave like that. And if you have problem with God, who will deliver you? You see how devil want to push you to remain perpetually under curse? Stop that when you go to church. Be careful. Any church at all where they call the name of the Lord, honor that name of God that they are calling there. If you don't like it, leave and go away. Don't joke around there. Give offering. And when you are giving offering, give offering as you are blessed. If you don't have, God knows you don't have. But if you have, then give as you have. And offering is not only money. Offering is the need, even in the ministry. And above that, the children of God around you who are in need, they need, if you can help them, you have, you give them. Help your brother, help your sister. You change clothes 3 times in a day. One person, every Sunday, the same cloth is wearing. The same cloth he's wearing. Is that not a sign somebody is telling you he needs your help? Where are we still, brethren? And when you do that, there is a blessing that goes with it. What's the next one? Eh? Offering, tithes, vow. Vow also. Of course, we all know about tithe. Tithe and offering, they go together. Vow. Sometimes when you get desperate, go with a vow. God doesn't waste time with it. And the next one, fast. Jam fast with a desperate condition. Hallelujah. When you jam all this, I appreciate you can get them on the tape. I've expanded a lot on this to enable you walk in these principles and see how your life will just be moving smooth. Any obstacle will come, you just jump past. Praise the Lord.